And here he is. We welcome in Matt Miller from Bleacher Report.
How's it going?
Doing well, man. How are you?
So I used on Sundays. I used to come into the Bleacher Report offices, and it would be all these guys watching, and Chris Sims as well, and they'd be sitting around and watching the football games. And I just would walk in there with like my piece of paper and my pen, and I would just, they were just a wealth of information. You know, you watch the games a certain way. I feel that I'm pretty knowledgeable, but you guys take it to a whole new level. And so I felt so blessed that I was able to like watch those 4 o'clock games with you guys, and I learned so much.
Yeah, no, that's a great atmosphere because you get people who that's all they do is like watch football for a living, and they sit in a room together and. You're not always going to agree, you know, with what each other's saying, but you can definitely learn a lot. And
that's the fun part, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, because, you know, Chris played in the NFL for a couple years longer than I did, you know, so I can definitely pick up some nuggets from him. That makes it fun.
Absolutely. And, of course, Matt does all the draft analysis with Bleacher Report. You know, you have to put those mock drafts on, even the ridiculous early ones like this one. We really don't know anything yet.
Right.
Let's start with the combine first. Obviously, some guys I know disappointing they're not going to run, and I'll start there. A wide receiver that – I've heard people say they love him. I've heard people say they don't like him. He might not even be the top wide receiver on their board, and that's Laquon Treadwell. And some of the big questions about him, his ability to separate, his speed.
Right.
Now he's not going to run the 40. That's got to raise an awful lot of red flags for scouts here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it raises some red flags, but I'll tell you what, it echoes what you see on game film. He's not fast. That's just not who he is. You know, he's probably a high 4.5, you know, mid 4.6 type of runner. That's okay. It's not his game. So I understand him not wanting to run here because you don't want to disappoint. What I would say, if he asked my opinion, now you only have one chance at your pro day. And if you have a bad 40 time there, yeah, so it puts a lot of pressure on you to perform in that one instance. So that's where they get into trouble. But he is a polarizing player because he came off that awful leg injury, so you have to worry about the medicals. He fired his agent and his financial advisor and his trainer just a couple weeks ago, so you worry about what's his mindset like there. And now he's opting not to run here. So there are a couple things that teams have to get comfortable with him, but if they do, he could be a top 10 pick.
So a lot of people equate him to like a Dez Bryant. What were Dez Bryant's results here at the combine? I mean, is that are they anticipating that? Also curious, Kelvin Benjamin. Granted, I know he didn't play last year because of his knee injury, but Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, obviously he was a four. So just because he doesn't have that speed, if he's got that body and that presence and that physicality, doesn't that have merit? Doesn't that have weight?
It absolutely does. I mean, I would say he's kind of like an Alshon Jeffrey type player. You know, Kelvin Benjamin is just 6'5", so he's the difference maker right there automatically. So I think with Treadwell, and the way I was taught to evaluate receivers, you have to be able to do one of two things, run past people or just get physical and go over the top. So he's physical, can go over the top. He's going to – the ball's his when it's in the air, and that's what you really like about him.
Does he win the 50-50 balls?
He wins the 50-50 balls. Yeah, he has that Dez Bryant quality of when the ball's in the air, it's mine.
Well, and you need that if you're not going to separate. And I know Mike Evans, another guy a couple years ago that is similar. He's had some drop issues now in the NFL the last couple of years, which he's trying to get over. Sticking on the offensive side of the ball, if you take a look at this first round, what's the chances that Ezekiel Elliott's the first non-quarterback skill position player off the board?
That's a great chance. Yeah, I would put money on that all day, you know, especially because, you know, look at the wide receiver group. Like, Treadwell's good, but he's not like what you would traditionally see as a top 10 pick. Michael Thomas from Ohio State is another guy, really talented, big, fits that mold. Probably not going to go before a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, who you have to start thinking about him at pick 10. I think you could start to see him maybe as an option there. I don't know that he gets past the Colts at 18. So you have about a 10 to 18 range for him. And like, if we're saying non-skill players, or skill players on offense, he's going to be one of the first ones to go.
It's interesting. I mean, we had Tom Rock on earlier and some guys on yesterday. And a lot of people feel that, you know, the Giants, their philosophy is best player on the board. But we know how many needs they need on the defensive side of the ball. What a conundrum they're going to be in, right, at 10 if Elliott is still on the board. A lot of people feel he at 10, he will be the best player on the board. The Giants roll with him.
Yeah, and that is the tough thing. And I thought last year they reached for Ereck Flowers, who, in my opinion, wasn't the best player on the board. I thought they tried to fill a need there. So this year we'll see if they get back to that philosophy, that old Jerry Reese school of BPA. But we know he loves defensive linemen. And now, you know, you have a new coaching staff in there, a new head coach at least. And it'll be interesting to see what his philosophy is, you know, with an offensive background. Does he want a three-down running back like Ezekiel Elliott? How much emphasis does he put on the running back position in general? So this draft will tell us a lot about the Giants. free agency, I think, will too, because what do they do on the defensive line? If they can lock some pass rushers up there, then maybe that allows them to go after a running back in the first round. Otherwise, you have to start thinking about guys like DeForest Buckner in the first round because they have to improve the pass rush.
A lot of people don't feel that he'll be there at 10.
DeForest Buckner, there's a good chance he's not. I mean, he is a legitimate top 10 pick in this draft. It kind of depends on how early the quarterbacks go. You know, if we see three quarterbacks go in the top 10, I think he'll be there.
But you think we will?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
I especially if Kaepernick gets traded, you're going to see you got an opening in San Francisco now. And then you have the, you know, teams like the Rams need a quarterback pretty badly. They could come up into the top 10. They have 2 second-round picks this year. That's a team that they love to trade on draft day, so I could see them come up into the top 10.
How about Dallas? Do they pick a quarterback?
I don't think they do right now, and I could be completely reading the tea leaves wrong here, but I think that Jerry Jones and that staff, they know they have a short window to win with Tony Romo. You don't pick number 4 overall very often if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a good point.
Go get an impact player. You can get a quarterback in round 2 like a Connor Cook, Dak Prescott in round 3. You can get other quarterbacks to groom behind Tony Romo.
Everybody is in love with Miles Jack.
They should be. They should be.
I mean, everybody's in love with him.
He is. He might be the best player in this draft. Like, if you just – if you want to stack your board, it's like – it's Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, and then everyone else. Like, he is a freak talent. I've told people all week he would be the best running back in this draft if he wanted to play offense. Like, he is special.
Well, here's a question. If Jalen Smith was healthy, would he be in that group?
He would be number one, without a doubt.
Like, really?
I would have no hesitation. He started the year as number one for me. He is one of the – he's – the best linebacker prospect I've seen since Patrick Willis. And I thought Willis was like,
wow,
this guy's going to be an all-pro from day one. Jalen Smith, healthy, there aren't many people like him. 6'3", 245 pounds, can rush the quarterback. I saw him play slot corner at times. He plays middle linebacker. You watch him against Texas. He shadowed those mobile quarterbacks. He almost broke Tyrone Swoops in half in that game. He hit him so hard. Jalen Smith, I hope he's back healthy because – the NFL needs players like that.
Well, so, Anita, real quick, okay. Do you think he's going to get out of the top 10 with that injury? Do you think he's going to drop to the teens? How do you think teams are going to evaluate this process with him with the injury?
There's so much speculation out there right now. It depends on who you talk to. But my mock draft is coming out next week. I'll give you a little hint. He's going 8 to Miami because I think he's too talented. It's like a Todd Gurley situation. I think he's too talented to fall very far.
Well, it's interesting. So in listening to you, you think that there is a chance that all three quarterbacks can go in the top 10. That would, I mean, Giants fans that are watching right now, that's got to sound really good to them.
It's
because
great news.
because a guy like Ramsey or a guy like Miles Jack could fall to them then, if you're saying that three of the quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10.
Yeah, well, you know, we never thought last year Leonard Williams would fall to 6.
No, that's for sure.
And the Jets were sitting there like, are you serious right now?
Somebody pinch me.
The best player in the draft.
We don't need him, but we got to take him.
Exactly. Yeah. So anything could happen. That's why I always tell fans who say that will never happen. You can't speak in definitives when it comes to the draft because it gets crazy. You know, teams panic. Teams try to fill needs instead of going for value. So really anything can happen.
Well, in a sec, we had this conversation yesterday about Noah Spence, and obviously he's a very polarizing player.
Yes.
Some teams might not even have him on their board. You know, last year at this time, we were talking about Randy Gregory as a top 6 or 7 pick, and then all of a sudden he's the end of the second round.
Right.
How do you see teams evaluating Noah Spence?
I think the difference with Noah Spence is he's been clean for 2 years, and he's been drug tested by Ohio State and Eastern Kentucky voluntarily for the last 2 years. So here you have, like, as long as he passes the test here, obviously, you have a track record of him making good decisions. With Randy Gregory, he failed the test here.
Like, true.
So it really backed up all those concerns that you had. Shane Ray was another guy. There were concerns. You get pulled over. You have some weed in the car. Like, those are things that the key is being as clean as you can be as a prospect up until the draft. Because the closer to the draft that you make a mistake, the more you're going to fall on draft day. And I think with Gregory, that was the big thing. Everyone knew that kid liked to smoke weed at Nebraska. Everybody knew it. You come here and fail the test. That brings into question your work ethic, if maybe you have an addiction problem, because you know from the minute you declare for the draft, you're going to get drug tested here. If you can't pass this test, you're not going to pass the one in training camp.
Oh, and look what happened last year. Now they're saying he might be suspended 4 games for failing 3 tests in his rookie year in the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's more about looking for a pattern of bad decisions. I think Noah Spence has a good pattern right now of making the right decisions. And Urban Meyer is going to bat for him. Like, Urban Meyer will talk to anybody who will listen.
He goes to bat for every one of his players.
He does. But I think the fact that it wasn't Ohio State that kicked him out, because I've heard people say,
he still feels Tim Tebow should be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll disagree on that. Coach Meyer and I will. But they've supported Noah Spence. I think that says a lot about him.
Also, another thing, and that I've been hearing is that there's actually a lot of teams that this synthetic marijuana. I know nothing about it.
I don't either.
I don't even know what it is. But like I'm hearing like there are a number of teams that are, because I guess it's just very popular right now, that they're worried that there's a lot of these kids that are coming into this draft that have used it some point in time. I mean, it's more so than any other time.
Right. It's a big red flag. And, you know, it's like you said, I'm 32. I have no idea what any of this stuff is. I never feel so old as when these guys, when it's drugs and music. I have no idea what they're doing anymore. But it's a big thing. And, you know, a guy who, Robert Kimdiche, all season, we talked about him as top five, top 10 pick. You know, now there's questions about he falls out of a fourth floor hotel window and there's weed in the room. And that's a big, you know, you got a couple different red flags in one incident there. So he's a polarizing guy who, you know, normally you would have said he's a good fit for the Giants. They need a pass rusher. He's a freak athlete. But those red flags could push him down to the second round, just like Randy Gregory last year.
Well, you know what? You mentioned it, and we talked about some of the options for the Giants. Defensive line, pass rushers, you know, whether you're talking about ends, three technique guys. Who do you see that could be there at 10 that you think would be a good fit for what the Giants like to do defensively with Steve Spagnuolo?
Well, yeah, you know, we could take guys like Joey Bosa off the board because I don't think there's a way that he would be there. DeForest Buckner would be.
By the way, did you sit in on his press conference just about 30 minutes ago?
I watched it.
He's a laid back dude.
He's laid back.
He's hilarious.
I'm just glad he shaved off the mustache because that was not a good look for him when he had that before. So he was dropping down my board just on the mustache.
Just on the stash, yeah.
Also, I heard his great grandfather is like a real, like really big into the mob.
That's the rumor.
I'd be worried to draft him.
He'd fit in great with you guys then. Yeah. You know, he's got the New York thing
going. In New York.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Great Italian restaurant.
Right. No, but I think DeForest Buckner is a guy who could be there and would be a great fit because he's.
Can he play three technique at a 4-3?
Yeah, he could play three technique. I know some teams like him as a defensive end, as a strong side defensive
really?
End.
Really? Wow.
What he can do athletically is rare, and I think he'll have a great week here. You know, you start to talk about like Sheldon Rankins. I think that's a little bit too early for him. The mm-hmm. pass rusher from Louisville, a little bit small, 6'1", 299 pounds. But, you know, Aaron Donald's not real big, and there's no one who can stop him right now. So yeah. that helps a guy like Sheldon Rankins a lot.
How about the two Clemson kids?
Yeah, Shaq Lawson and Kevin Dodd. They're kind of interesting because I think you can move them around. Obviously, they played defensive end in a 4-3 scheme, but they're also young guys who are like right around 285 pounds. So you have some wiggle room to go, and they might have shed weight to run faster here, but they both play pretty heavy. So you could maybe kick one of those guys inside. Kevin Dodd had, you know, two of the best games anyone had all year to finish the season. He's 24 years old, though. I think that will be something that teams worry about a little bit.
Wow, he's 24. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Years old, okay. And really just had, you know, one season of production because they had Vic Beasley there ahead of him. But I like Shaq Lawson a lot. I think that a lot of us draft experts are overrating the fact that he played injured down the stretch and wasn't himself in those final two games. What he did over the last 2 years is pretty impressive. So he's a guy I like in the top 15. And if you're talking you filling a need and a value at 10, he might be a good pick.
Now, is he more of a two-way player, or can he be a dynamic edge rusher, you know, one of those twitchy guys that can really turn the corner on
you? I don't think he's one of those real twitchy guys. I think he's more of a power player.
Okay.
You know, more of a Coney Ealy, like, you know, who we saw in the Super Bowl, or Greg Hardy without the off-field questions, that mm-hmm. type of defensive.
Got it.
Not your Cameron Wakes or Olivier Vernons.
All right, let's go beyond the first round. And I know how much film you watch and how in the know you are. Give us some names of some guys that you think are going to go in the later rounds that you feel are going to be complete studs.
Well, I, you know, being from Missouri, there are two kids on the offensive line there that I think are amazing. Connor McGovern, who played left tackle. He's better at guard, and he has already had a great day today, which you would expect. He is a monster. And then Evan Baum, their center, who is one of those guys, like, these Mizzou offensive line products, like, they don't bust. You know, Justin Britt, Mitch Morris, they come in and they just play well for 10 years. So those are two guys I really like. And especially, you know, with New York, you've got to start to fill some needs. You know, Jeff Schwartz is gone. You got to figure out what they're doing at right tackle long term. So those late round offensive linemen are guys that I really like.
And also in the second and third round, the Giants, you know, pick high in the rounds. And everything I've heard is that, much like the wide receiver class a couple years ago, this defensive tackle class
this year,
you can get starters in rounds three or round four. Give me some of those guys that you think could be a day two or even an early day three pick, a defensive tackle that you think teams can target, bring in, and say, you know what, we can plug this guy in year one and play him.
Yeah, Hassan Ridgeway at Texas would be that guy. And I was kind of bullish on him when he first came out. It was like, I don't know if this is the best decision, but you watch him play over the last 2 years. He played nose tackle. He played three technique. He played one tech. He moved all around, especially this past year once Malcolm Brown was gone. He had to become the man on that defensive line, and he was unblockable at times.
Wow.
So he is a guy that I like. That he's not a finished product. He's a little bit raw, but you're getting great value. And a guy at 6'3", 311 pounds, he can play anywhere on the D-line for you. So if you're talking late day two, that's where I would start to target someone like that. The guy I used to love that I didn't think was going to blow up is Vernon Butler. I thought round two, like, this kid would be a steal.
Senior Bowl helped him, huh?
Senior Bowl. Now it's like you have to draft him at like 20 to get him. So I he was the guy I had in my pocket as your round two player, but he's definitely blown up. On the D-line, like, there's so many good players. Jahad Ward at Illinois is someone that he's going to have an amazing day here. He's 6'5", 300 pounds. I posted a video the other day on Twitter of him dunking a basketball, like reverse dunking a ball. He's just a freak athletically, and he's very raw coming out of that scheme. But he could play inside his three technique and definitely get production. Malik Collins from Nebraska is another one. Play dropped off a little bit this past year with Mike Riley there. The scheme changed. But he is a very good inside pass rusher.
And let's talk about secondary, because obviously Giants with Prince Amukamara, not sure what's going to happen there. They suffered a lot of injuries in the safety position. They're expecting them to come back and with good health. But still, I think that's an area they're going to focus in on.
Yeah, I like the safety class a lot this year. Darian Thompson is a free safety from Boise State. He's just a playmaker. I mean, he does it all. Now, he might not be there at the top of the second round. That's the only issue. But at strong safety, guys like Jeremy Cash from Duke are very good players. Keanu Neal from Florida, he might even sniff the end of the first round just because of how physical and aggressive he is. You got Von Bell from Ohio State, he's a good free safety prospect. And at corner, I actually think it's a pretty deep corner class. You know, someone like Eli Apple from Ohio State might fall to the second round. Xavier Howard from Butler is probably the kid that not enough people know about right now. From Baylor. Long, fast, like twitchy. He definitely fits that mold of what you want. He just needs coached up a little bit.
I hear that Houston kid might have
William
a
Jackson.
Huge combine.
Yeah, he's a stud, and so is Harlan Miller from Southeast Louisiana. There's some small school corners this year that are really, really good players. And Harlan Miller had a great Senior Bowl. He was the best corner down there, hands down.
You talked about Ezekiel Elliott. How do you sparse that second group of running backs? You know, the Derrick Henrys. Mm-hmm. You got the kid from Alabama that people like, the kid from Louisiana that people like. How do you parse that next group? Where are they going to land? How do you compare their skill sets?
Yeah, this why should be great for me, because I like to use the combine to break ties on players. So I like Paul Perkins from UCLA a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good three-down running back. I really like Kenneth Dixon from Louisiana Tech. Like, that kid just, he does everything really well. He's kind of a little jitterbug. Derrick Henry, I'm not as high on Derrick Henry, because I think at some point you can actually be too big for the NFL. And I think that's where he's at right now. To be almost 6'3", 247 pounds, you start to look at how many running backs around that size have had success in the NFL.
You look at Eddie George, and the list doesn't go much further than that.
That's it. It's Eddie George. Yeah, you know, even Jerome Bettis, who was heavy, was short. So he wasn't as easy to bring down. I think Derrick Henry, for all his athletic attributes, he's not a very good running back prospect, in my opinion. So, hey, I've been wrong on these running backs before. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I hope he does, because he'll make a lot of money. But I'm not real big on Derrick Henry.
All right, before we let you go, what are you Bleacher Report wise? I know that you guys do a lot when it comes to the draft. You guys are live, putting up a lot of videos as the draft is unfolding. What's your game plan?
Our game plan here, we'll be doing daily videos, you know, kind of breaking down guys who made money, lost money, who helped themselves, hurt themselves. And then next week I'll have a mock draft. A new big board will come out. And like you said, for the draft, we'll be doing not necessarily live, but pretty much instant updates and breaking down every pick as they happen. And everything goes straight to our Team Stream app, so it's really easy and convenient. You don't have to wait around at home to watch it on TV or anything.
And you do every round.
Every round, every pick. It's crazy.
Insanity. And by the way, you gave us a sneak peek. You said Jalen Smith at 8. I'm going to get greedy here. Can you give us a sneak peek at who you have the Giants at 10 in your next mock
coming
out?
It's DeForest Buckner. I'm pretty sure
that's
who it is.
Wow, okay.
I'm away from
especially
my computer.
Well, especially if you're saying that three quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10, then yeah.
Pushes him down there to you guys, which I think he would be a tremendous fit in that defense.
And I'm assuming that Lynch, the kid from Memphis, is your third quarterback
in
the top 10?
Yep, okay. Yep.
Interesting. Matt, great stuff as always.